Turn in your Bibles if you would to 1 Peter chapter 4. Second Sunday in September, we'll start back in Philippians. We'll finish Philippians this fall. Next year, Lord willing, if I hope to preach on the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday nights. It'll probably take us the whole year. And so I'm looking forward to that. Been already studying a little bit and getting ready for that. So that'll be a look ahead for you. But we are going to finish, Lord willing, the Philippians this fall. And we look forward to Wednesday night, finishing up the attributes of God this fall, as well as giving Brother Wiggins some time as well on Wednesday nights. We got to let Brother Wiggins preach from time to time, or he gets a little feisty. So he'll... How many of y'all splashed Jesus on somebody this week? Everybody? I'll just, those two phrases I will never forget. I think at least once a day, think about those two phrases. And it sure helps you to remember the revival meeting and what a tremendous meeting we had. And I hope that it's still stirring your heart as it is mine. It's affected my study, affected my Bible reading. And I was telling the men in the prayer meeting yesterday morning, I'm reading through the book of Isaiah, and just reminded again there in Isaiah chapter 40, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Aren't you glad our Lord encourages us and strengthens us? It's just so encouraging, so wonderful to know that He's right there with us. And so as we look here at 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to look at verse 7, a few verses here. I just want to remind you that we are in the last days. The Bible speaks about the last days, perilous times shall come, and we are there. I am a news junkie. I have a Fox News app on my phone. We got rid of cable TV at our house a few months ago, almost a year ago now, I think. So I don't get to watch Fox News on TV. I was a little sad. I cried a tear. But I got the Fox News app. And boy, it really can become discouraging quickly. But at the same time, especially here lately, I just reminded again, the Lord's soon to return. The urgency of the hour, I'm telling you, it is here. Look at verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore what? Sober. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And we won't be touching on that. That verse 10 could be a whole message in and of itself. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. We ask that you would again remind us of the hour in which we live. Encourage us, strengthen us as we try and endeavor to be a good light in this crooked and perverse nation in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen. We understand and know, on a positive note tonight, that any day could be our last. And we know that we should live in light of eternity. And I told you, there's a couple of things I genuinely pray every morning. And that is, Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. And Lord, help me to live in light of eternity. And actually, it was Brother Stone preached a message on that years ago. And I've never forgot that message he preached. And I do the same thing. Just remembering, Lord, help me to live today in light of your return. He could return today. He could return right now. We believe, and the Bible teaches, in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. All prophecies that need to be fulfilled have been fulfilled in order to clear the way for Christ's return. I mean, the Father could look at Jesus at any time and say, go get your children. It could happen today. It could happen tonight. It could happen in this very moment. And we need to be ready to meet the Lord. And I hope tonight that you are saved. That's the very first thing. In order to meet the Lord, in order to be ready to meet Him, you must know Him. You must know Him. You must be a child of God. And I hope tonight there's been a point in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, we're not automatically born children of God. I don't care what any TV evangelist may tell you or any politician may tell you. I've heard politicians say it. Oh, we're just all part of the, you know, we're all God's children. That is not true. Emphatically, biblically, that is not right. When we are born in this world, the Bible says we are born children of the devil. Well, that's tough, isn't it? In fact, Jesus looked at a couple of Pharisees and Sadducees and said, you are of your father, the devil. And so understand that we are born selfish, that we are born sinners. in need of a Savior. And I'm so thankful He came. Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years and yet had no sins of His own, lived a perfect life and died on the cross for me and for you and shed His blood on Calvary in order that we might have eternal life. I'm glad I got saved when I was 6 years old. I know tonight when I lay down my head on the pillow, I know without a shadow of doubt that if I was to die, I'd have a home in heaven. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. It's a place of joy. And I hope tonight that is the starting point. If we are to live in light of eternity, if we are to live in light that Christ could return, then we must first off understand and know that we are saved. We should live in light of the fact that Jesus could return. And in light of that, we should treat each other as if it was our last meeting. In other words, we better be careful what we say to each other and how we treat each other because it might be our last meeting. I'll never forget, we were teenagers. And my dad, there was a couple of teenagers that came to church one night. And Dad preached that night and preached a great message. And one of those teenage boys, who was older, he was probably 18, walked the aisle and came down and asking questions. But he did not get saved that night. Did not get saved. And I'll never forget it, and Tanya may remember it. That boy got in a car with another young man, and they headed out. And that night they got in a car wreck and died. Just as simple as that. And he wasn't ready to meet the Savior. You just don't know. You don't know the last time you get to talk to somebody. So many other stories rushing through my mind. But you just don't know the last chance. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Listen, we better be careful when we say, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. It's, you know, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, I'll see you tomorrow. But we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we need to treat each other as if it is our last meeting. We should conduct our speech as if it may be our last opportunity to talk. And then we should work as if it may be our last time to serve. We should work as if it may be our last time to serve. We need to be serving when Jesus returns. We need to be working for Him. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to be busy. I'll never forget when I was a kid, I was about 13. And my papa, my dad's dad, who has the farm, most of you I tell lots of stories about the farm. My papa hired my brother, who is 4 years older than me, to come up and work for him for a few weeks during the summer. Normally we went up there in the summer anyway and worked for free. But my brother couldn't find a job that summer, so papa said, all right, come up and I'll pay you $100 and feed you all you can eat, which eating all you can with grandma's cooking was awesome. They're in heaven. I can't wait to see them again. But so he said, hey, bring Eric with you. I'll pay him $50. I got paid half. I don't understand that. I was worked harder than my older brother anyway. My brother didn't know the difference between a hammer and a screwdriver. He does now a little bit. He hasn't gotten much better, but he is not mechanically oriented or anyway. So anyway, we got out there. Papa said each day gave us a list of things to do. And so one day we were supposed to be cutting trees down in this creek bed, this long river bottom. We're supposed to be cutting down the willow trees. He was tired of all the willow trees. So we're down there. We're supposed to be cutting those things. Well, we did that for a couple hours. He left to go to work. He worked in the oil field, and he left to go to work. And we decided we needed a drink, so we came up to the house. I don't know. I don't remember where Grandma was at, but apparently she wasn't in the house. And so we came in the house, got us a drink, and my papa had those good, nice lazy boys. We laid back in the lazy boy. And I don't know, about an hour later, another hour passed. It was time for lunch. We ate lunch. Another hour later, we were still on the lazy boys. And all of a sudden, we hear that's a door closed on a truck. Papa was back. And we took off running out the back door. Opened the sliding glass door. We take off running. Jumped the fence into the cow lot. We had to jump another fence to get to the river bottom. And we jumped that fence. And gotta understand, my brother has a chainsaw in his hand. We're jumping these fences. We jump. Just about the time we went to jump the second fence, you hear my papa going, boys! He caught us, man. He caught us. He caught us not working. We weren't ready for his return. Amen. And that's a funny story, but I'm telling you, a lot of us, it's not going to be too funny when the Lord returns and we're not working for Him. We're going to be judged. And so we need to be about the Father's business. We need to be about serving Him. And for each of us, that's different. For each of us, that's different. Each of us have diverse gifts. According to 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12, we've all been given diverse gifts, different gifts in which God has given us in order for us to work for Him. And so some have one talent, some have five talents, some have ten. We just need to make sure and find out what ours is and work the work. Amen? And work in light of His return. We need to get serious about this. That's what it says. Be sober. Get serious and understand that Christ could return at any time. We need to get serious about whether or not we're saved. And again, tonight, I hope you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's something you need to settle. I'm developing two messages, and we're going to preach them on a Sunday morning, and out of 1 John, how to detect whether you are saved or not. 1 John was written in that manner. 1 John, John says, "These things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life." And understand, I find people all the time who say, "Well, I hope I'm going to heaven." You ask them, "Do you know you're going to heaven when you die?" They'll say, "Well, I hope I am." Listen, the Bible says you don't have to hope so. You can know so. You don't have to think you're going to heaven. You can know. Again, John said in 1 John, you can go back and read it there in chapter 4 and 5, "These things have I written unto you." He said, "I wrote the book of 1 John to you that ye might know that you have eternal life." One of those signs that he gives in there, one of the tests of whether or not we're saved or not, is whether or not we enjoy keeping the commandments. One of those tests in the first book of 1 John is whether or not we have a love for the brethren. And there's about seven tests in the book of John, 1 John, that'll enable and help you to know whether or not you're part of the family of God. And I hope you've got that settled. Be sober. Get serious about it. Again, get serious about our service to God. But not just our service to God, our service to others. It's about how we treat our neighbor. It's about how we treat our coworkers, how we treat our family and our kids, our children, our spouses. We need to be serious about this because we're just about there, folks. I'm telling you, I've heard it all my life, and we can turn over to 2 Peter and hear them mock and say, "Where is the promise of His coming?" But I'm telling you, He's coming, and it could be today, and it's certainly closer today than it was yesterday, and you can see the signs. You can see the signs. We need to be sober about this. We need to be serious. And then it says we should watch in prayer or watch unto prayer. Understand that in order to have God's power to do God's work, we must pray. I believe the evidence of the revival meeting this year, maybe more so than we've done in the past, is the prayer that was done prior to. That we prepared for the revival and made it a matter of prayer, collectively and individually. And God showed up in a special way. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. And not only collectively speaking as a church do we need to pray, but we as individuals need to pray. We need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, a personal time of prayer with Him. And in other words, it's not just prayer that gives power to the church to fulfill the commission that God has given us, but prayer is also made by individuals, by me, to receive power in my personal life. Don't forget about that now. It's not just about receiving collective power, but it's about receiving personal power and enablement to live the Christian life through prayer. Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. Lord, help me to live in light of eternity today. It's asking Him for help. When we are weak, He is strong. It's understanding and humbling ourselves before Him, broken before Him. Say, "Lord, I need You. I can't live this day how You would want me to live without Your help, without Your power, without Your strength." So we need to get serious about this business of service and salvation. We need to get serious about watching and praying. And then verse 8 says, "And above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covered the multitude of sins." And so as we think about this being in the last days, we should have a love for each other. Fervent charity among yourselves. Charity is more than just love. Charity is love in action. It's not. It's kind of like when you tell your wife you love her, but you never do nothing for her. That's not real love. Charity is when you say, "I love you," and then you follow it up with action. Charity is when you love someone and you follow it up with doing something for them. Love is doing for someone without expecting anything in return. I love Brother McCracken kind of went over some of that. Love is doing for someone else. It's serving someone else. It's biblical. The next statement where it says charity hides a multitude of sins, that's also found in two other spots in the Bible. And it is absolutely true. If someone genuinely loves someone else and has displayed that love to them and has showed that love to them, that person will overlook a few problems that may occur. Listen, husband, wife, you love each other, you display that love to each other, and when you foul up, the love and the display of love, the action of love, will cover up the mess ups. Isn't that good? Yeah, it's awesome. Because I mess up a lot. You don't? You must be better than me. I'm kind of getting grouchy in my... Oh, I really am. I've gotten a little moody. And I know it. And so when I feel it, I said, wake up, man. But I can tell, you know, that I've changed a little bit. And I have to be conscious of it. And we all foul up. And I'm glad that, Lord willing, I show my wife enough love and attention and communication and sometimes gifts and cards and tiaras, apparently. Who wears a tiara on their birthday? No idea. That it hides the foul ups, and I'm going to use the S word, and the stupid stuff we do sometimes. Really? Sometimes we just do dumb stuff. So there's an illustration given like this in a book, and I don't remember who it was who wrote it. I think it was Hurley is his name, and it's called the Love Bank. The Love Bank. Me and my wife, we use this one pretty often, and that is, each one of you have a bank. I'm not talking about your bank account where you put the money at. I'm talking about we all have a love bank, and the wife's bank seems to be bigger than the rest of them, so we won't talk about that. But so, in marriage or in any relationship, as you do good things for your spouse, you deposit things into the love bank. You deposit money into the love bank. $1 and $2, whatever it may be. And when we do stuff that's not very kind, it deducts from the love bank. Right? So in marriage... Stinking fly. So in marriage, the key to it is to keep the love bank on the positive end. You want to keep it in the black. You don't want your love bank going in the red. All right, as adults, y'all understand that, right? Like when you figure up your checkbook. Yeah. We don't do that anymore, do we? Does anybody figure up a checkbook? Don't raise your hands. But you have to put enough in the love bank in order that when you do things that are stupid, then there remains a positive balance in your account. And it's absolutely true. It's a biblical principle. Love hides a multitude of sins. And we just need to make sure that we are depositing in there. Listen, we need to have charity one for another. It's not just our relationship with our spouse, but a relationship with everyone. One of the indications that we are saved, according to John, is that we have a love for the brethren. And listen, some of us foul up in here a lot. We all have personal qualities. We all have quirks. We all have various personalities that sometimes grate against each other. And sometimes a preacher just has to come and say, why can't we all just get along? Right? Charity. Showing charity among yourselves. And then when we do foul up as Christians, brothers and sisters, that we have deposited enough in the love bank in order to keep the balance in the black. And so we need to remember that as Christians. By the way, the world is watching us. They're watching us and how we treat each other. And there certainly doesn't need to be backbiting and gossip and all these things in the church, because it's such a terrible testimony to the outside world. We need to display love one toward another. The greatest need today is a love for one another. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, because what? Ye have a love one for another. The world is watching us. And then verse 10 speaks of service. Speaks of service and ministering one to another. ministering one to another. We must be more interested in serving than being served. I think I mentioned this morning. We just need to be like Jesus. Jesus came to be ministered, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And we need to keep that in our minds on a consistent basis. I should be a minister. That we as members should be ministers. That we should minister one to another. We should serve one another. Servant leadership. Serving one another. Loving one another and serving one another. It's not about me. It's all about Him. But in this case, it's about you. It's about others. Serving one another. So what he's saying here, he said, be sober, be serious about this. The Lord can return at any moment. The end is here. The end is drawing nigh. Let's be serious about this and make sure and know that you're saved. Make sure you're serving and doing. Make sure that you're loving each other. Make sure you're serving each other. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Verse 11 says we ought to be speaking the word. The end is close. The end is near. One of those signs out on the side of the road with the homeless guy. The end is near. He just said it though. The end is near. The end is near. The end is near. What should we be doing? We should be spreading the word. The good news of salvation. We should be spreading the word. The world does not need vain philosophy today. The world does not need pop psychology today. The world does not need another positive thinking, positive preacher, positive... doesn't need another one. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. And we need preachers and teachers and members giving the Word of God out. Giving the Word of God out. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as the ability which God giveth, that God may be glorified in all things. So we ought to also giveth, or as God giveth, doing for Him, depending upon Him as we minister to others, as we serve Him, depending upon Him. Jesus said, without me you can what? Do nothing. We need Him. We need to be totally dependent upon Him. And here it says all things. All things. Be reminded that without Him we're nothing. We're zero without Him. It's not about our gifts. It's not about our personalities. Not about our money. It's about Jesus Christ, His Word, and His power, and His presence. We need Him. We need Him. He doesn't need us. We need Him. We need Him today more than ever. I think about our kids going back to school. Most of them are going back on Tuesday. Some going back on Monday. And what they face, we say this every year, but what they face, so much more than what we faced. Really it is. Bombardment on every side. From the temptations with cell phones to so many other things. Well, let's pray for them. We need the Lord. We need to be dependent upon Him. Parents, we need the Lord in parenting our kids. It's a miracle that any kid turns out right now. Isn't it? With all the stuff going on, it's a miracle that anybody turns out good. We need Him. We need to be dependent upon Him. We need to be dependent upon His power and His presence. Why? That we might glorify Him. As we depend upon Him, He gets the glory. We're just clay pots. We're just earthen vessels. Why does the Bible, we preached on this a few weeks ago, why did He refer to us in that manner? To remind us that we're nothing. And that we are all totally dependent upon Him. Totally dependent upon the Lord. In order that we might understand that He gets the credit. I'm telling you, there are some who enjoy getting the credit. But I want the Lord to get the credit. I used to say this a lot because I got it from Brother Weatherby. Brother Weatherby used to say to us all the time, I want God to do something in our church that can't be explained through reason. I don't think we saw that through the revival meeting. Amen? Awesome. I would see it at camp a lot. I just want God to do. The last 3 or 4 months in our churches, it's been amazing. It's nothing we changed or did. God did it. I love that. That's what He should get the credit. In everything we do, He should get the credit. Glorify Him in all things. Not self, not the church, not our family, but Him. He should get the credit in all things. Our purpose in life is to pray. Listen to this. Our purpose in life is our purpose in life is to so pray, so live, so labor, and so love that God will be glorified in everything that we do. I didn't come up with that quote. Brother Sisk did. So labor, so pray, so live, and so love that God would be glorified. The Bible says, let your life so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. And may the Lord get glory in everything that we do. Everything. Let's all stand. Hymn 162, Lord, I'm Coming Home. Let's be sober. Let's get serious about this now as we look to go into the week tomorrow, where it started the week today, but go to work tomorrow, go to school. Let's live in light of eternity. Let's live as if the Lord could return at any time. Let's love each other. Let's care for each other. Let's minister one to another and be ready to meet the Lord and do all to His glory. Corinthians makes that clear too. There in Paul says, do all things to the glory of God. Everything we do after we pray. Lord, we thank You for this time, and Lord, what a blessing it has been today to see so many in service this morning. And Lord, we just appreciate so much the teachers and workers and members and church family putting out the effort to invite people. And Lord, we thank You for those who walked the aisle this morning, and thank You for the child that was saved in Children's Church this morning. Lord, all these if we're not careful, we'll take some credit for. Lord, I pray that You would be glorified in all of this. Lord, that we would see ourselves as weak in need of Your power and Your strength. Lord, we can't live a day, we can't live a week without Your enablement and Your help. Lord, help us to be totally dependent upon You. Help us to love each other as we should and show that love to each other, whether it's our spouses, our neighbor, our friends, our co-workers, as well as our church family. Lord, bless this time. Bless the preaching tonight. Lord, if there's someone here tonight who is not saved and never accepted You as Savior, I pray today they would accept You before it's too late. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen. As you